This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Crunching the numbers as the GOP moves to replace Obamacare. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Snow is on the ground in major cities in the Northeast, including Washington. That is where policymakers are chewing over the consequences of the latest scorecard of the Republican plan to replace Obamacare. Let's talk about how both of these affect business with David Kelly. He is Chief Global Strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So the Congressional Budget Office predicts 24 million people could lose insurance coverage and $337 billion be shaved off the budget deficit under the House GOP bill. Having seen that scorecard, what do you think about the potential economic impact of the proposed health care bill?
I think the overall macroeconomic impact may not be that huge, but the social impact of obviously all those people losing insurance could be significant. The basic problem is that you can't have pre-existing conditions covered if you don't have an individual mandate. And the result is fewer people will have insurance once we get rid of the individual mandate, either under Obamacare or under the new American Health Care Act. So I think there's a problem there. I think that problem is going to become pretty obvious in 2018, but it's going to be more of a problem for individuals in health care rather than for the economy overall.
Let's change topics a little bit because we can see the snow getting heavier here in New York. Got us thinking a little bit about the jobs numbers from last week. Very strong number in terms of construction hiring. Questions as to how much of that was driven by the really nice weather we had in February. March weather, not so nice so far. If it stays that way, what could be the economic impact?
We think that about 25,000 jobs were added in February just because of warm weather. But it doesn't seem so warm in March. And we also are going to see the effect of federal government hiring freezes. So I think the jobs gains in March could be a bit less than the jobs gains in February.
David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds. Stay warm, sir.
I will try.
For a while now, colleges and universities have worried about their international applicants, whether they'd be scared off by America's immigration politics. There are new signs those fears are justified. A new survey of hundreds of schools finds that about 40% of them have seen international applicants drop this year. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
We'll know a lot more come the fall, when students actually decide whether or not to enroll. But the drop in applications?
It is an early indicator that we could have a problem.
That's Melanie Gottlieb from the American Association of Collegiate Registrars and Admissions Officers, which conducted the survey. According to the Institute of International Education, there are about 1 million foreign students in the U.S. for higher ed. They bring diversity and money. Foreign students often pay full tuition. They add an estimated $36 billion to the economy. So universities here want them. But so do schools in Canada, Australia, the UK. Benjamin Waxman is CEO of International Education Advantage, which helps schools market themselves to foreign students.
There's a lot more reassurance of students that needs to happen.
He says the benefits of a U.S. education haven't changed. But the perceived risks around U.S. immigration policy have. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
The Dutch vote tomorrow, and the results are of great interest to global investors. They want to know just how much strength there is to this populist movement that helped bring about President Trump and Brexit. All eyes will be on far-right candidate Geert Wilders. Stephen Beard reports from the Netherlands on the economic factors driving the race.
Henk-Jan Prosman is the pastor of this small country church. He says most of his parishioners are not the rootless, cosmopolitan, liberal types that dominate Amsterdam. Many of them will be voting for far-right winger Geert Wilders in Wednesday's election.
people really have had enough of the liberalization of morals, the liberalization of economy. That's a great part of the appeal of the Geert Wilders party. It's a conservative party in a sense.
Pastor Prosman will be voting for Wilders too, to curb what he feels is a threat to Christian values, the further influx of Muslim immigrants.
Wilders would implement some kind of border protection, a more restricted policy on immigration, especially from Muslim countries.
But Wilders' programme, which is only one page long, is even more drastic than that. Political analyst Andre Crowell says it calls for Islam to be outlawed.
Imagine you have to clamp down and make sure that nobody has a Quran. You have to then also ban all mosques.
And Crowell scoffs at Wilders' claim that this de-Islamisation will save the Netherlands $7.5 billion a year.
The legal cost will be enormous, because I think every mosque and every religious person in the Netherlands will take you to court.
Wilders has been dubbed the Dutch Trump, and not just because of the blonde bouffant hairstyle. Jan Paternot, a centre-left candidate in the election, says Wilders models himself on the American president.
He even tweeted at some point, "Make the Netherlands great again."
And like Trump, he avoids the mainstream media and indeed denounces the mainstream media.
And he tries to create the image of the media as an enemy of the people.
Dutch pundits and pollsters say that unlike Trump, Wilders will not win power. But as Trump now knows well, pundits and pollsters can get it wrong. In Amsterdam, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, snow in the Northeast is wrecking travel and closing schools. It is also derailing global diplomacy. The meeting between President Trump and German Chancellor Angela Merkel is now on hold until Friday. Previously set for today, the White House visit is much anticipated by Wall Street, with key business issues on the table. The Trump administration has been critical of Germany on trade and immigration. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.